Let us read from the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2, we'll read the whole chapter. Let us hear the word of God. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, which with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, of unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering bacon in a pan, it shall be of fine flour unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces, and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering bacon in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet savour. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn, dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full years. And thou shalt put oil upon it, and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us all. Here we have in this chapter the second type of offering described and commanded for the people of Israel to bring to the Lord as an offering to him, a pleasing offering to be of sweet savour unto the Lord. First of all, we should deal with the name of this offering, because it can be misleading for us today. It is called the meat offering, but we may just as well call it grain offering, because as you have probably grasped already, It is called meat. It is used with this word, meat. But it is not used any flesh. The word in those days meant generally food. It was a food offering. It was a meal prepared for the priests and for the Lord. And the ingredients used, we shall see the details. There's nothing, there's no meat as we may interpret now as flesh. There's no animal killed in this offering. So just remember that it is translated as meat offering, but it is basically a grain offering. It is an offering with a purpose of being eaten like a meal. So we shall look generally what are these ingredients, what are those forbidden, and maybe lastly also how this was presented to the Lord. And as always in these offerings, I will use the same pattern, which is to look at the meanings of these things for the people of Israel, for what it meant to them. But also we need to look at the New Testament and what we are told about some of these things, if not all, and how these are pointing to us, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He is the fulfillment of this type of offering. And lastly, as always, we should try to apply and seek what this means to us today and what the Lord is asking of us today. So let us look first of all at some of the ingredients that were used for this offering. And we have read through the first 11 verses mainly what the Israelites were to use for this offering. Remember, just like the first one we have seen in chapter 1, here we are told again it is a willing offering from someone who is desiring to approach the Lord and bring something to Him. In this case, is not an animal, there's no shedding of blood, but there is an aspect which may point us to think this person was giving thanks to the Lord, was acknowledging the fact of bringing something to the Lord of value and of out of thankfulness, out of sacrifice for the Lord regarding what he was possessing. But we'll say this more later. So the main ingredients that we are reading here are four. And you have noticed there is flour, there is oil, there is frankincense, and there is also salt used. The flour, which is flour of wheat, mentioned here, was, as you know, an essential product of the people of the time. It was obtained by threshing and grinding what was the result of the harvest. And this flour was white, pure and clean. It was, after some kind of process, obtained in this manner, white flour. And it was conveying to the people of the time, obviously, a choice, a very important product. It was an excellent product that was used for cooking of bread and various baking products. So throughout this offering and using this ingredient, we are likely to think about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ as one of these ingredients, something of pure excellency of the person of Christ. When we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, when the angel spoke to Mary, he spoke of the holy thing which is in you, the holy thing that which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so in this offering, this ingredient may point to something of excellent material, of excellent ingredient, fine, white, pure and clean, of great nourishment. But the second ingredient was used is oil. And the oil was again a very precious ingredient for them at the time. You all know how oil is made and taken from. And in those days it was a very expensive ingredient. So this had to be mingled with flour. And more than this, we have many many places in the Word of God where the oil in the Old Testament is pointing to the Holy Spirit. So when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and we read, for example, in John chapter 3, that the Spirit was given unto him without measure, that clearly tells us about the using of this oil that is pointing to the presence of the Holy Spirit in the sacrifice, in this offering here, mingled with flour. What about the third one, the third ingredient? It is frankincense. This ingredient was a resin collected and used to be burned, and it used to make a bright flame as it was burned, but also was given a very pleasant fragrance. And this pointed out to these offerers that what they were doing was obviously of a sweet smelling fragrance to the Lord and to those, to the priests who would receive this. So again, using this ingredient, it is quite interesting to remember that when the Lord was born here on earth, you remember the wise men brought as a presentation, along with gold and myrrh, also frankincense. Flour, oil, frankincense, and also salt. This is commanded to be used. And here we have the link with what we said this morning as well, that Jesus was speaking to the people of his time. Since Old Testament times, salt was used to prevent, it was used over meat to prevent decay, and it was used generally as a symbol of incorruptibility. And it was used, it couldn't have been missing to any sacrifice here at the temple. It was an ingredient that reminded them as well of the covenant itself made by God. There is a text in Numbers 18 where the Lord is using this reference of salt to point to his own covenant and his own relation of friendship and purity with his own people. Number 18, verse 19. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord, unto thee and to thy seed with thee. So this was a reference that brought to mind the use of salt was an ingredient that prevented decay. It was a sign of true covenant. It was a sign of purity and incorruptibility of what was offered. This ingredient was never to be forgotten. It will be mentioned later on again and again. So, what are we pointed here about the Lord Jesus? Well, surely that He was offered to God as a meat offering, as it is described here. The Lord Jesus Himself, in His own pure person, without sin, full of the Holy Spirit, was a true offering. It was the fulfillment of this type of offering to the Lord, bringing a sweet smelling savor to the Father as the perfect offering to God. Surely, when someone was offering this along with other offerings, it was pointing to these characteristics. And it was hidden with this, the desire, as someone was offering this type of offering, it was obviously pointing to this desire to offer something to the Lord that was accepted, that was of a sweet savor and smell to the Lord, and was nourishing also the priests that were offering this offering. But there were also two other ingredients that were specifically forbidden. The Israelites had to offer these four things mingled together, but they had to be careful and keep away leaven and also honey. Why this? Well, leaven, you all know, especially those who work in the kitchen, is a product that is has the characteristic of making puffing up the pastry. It's a substance that is fermenting, and usually it was referred to as something that was spreading and growing sin and corruption. You remember the Lord Jesus speaking about this regarding the leaven of the Pharisees, their sinful attitude, their influence, and their type of life, which was spreading and growing in sin and corruption. Leaven generally was pointing towards the idea of malice, of sin, of pride, of hypocrisy, and much more. And it was obviously an ingredient that was directly opposite to what these four ingredients used were pointing at. If you had used leaven in your offering, you knew there was something regarding sin that God will not be pleased with. There was a lack of sincerity, there was a lack of love, there would have been lack of many other graces that leaven would be destroying and bringing this idea. God would not be pleased and would not approve a meat offering with leaven in it. Not only this, but also honey. Honey, yes, it was, and it is, a pleasant and tasteful ingredient, sweet. But this, in those days, was pointing and referring to pleasures of the world. Canaan, if you remember, is often referred to as the land full of milk and honey. Yes, these were ingredients that were in and of themselves not wrong or causing any damage, but honey, for example, if used in too much quantity, it would make you sick. And so this ingredient, along leaven, honey, was to be avoided. In this offering to the Lord, where the four ingredients were used, representing purity and sweet-smelling savor and Holy Spirit, the sanctification and the separation from sin and conservation pure without sin, obviously leaven and honey had to be avoided. If you used honey, it was like your offering was mingled with worldly pleasures, sensual pleasures, and it was something that was spoiling your own personal devotion and your good works before the Lord. This is what the Lord was conveying to these people who had to offer these four pure ingredients to the Lord and not leaven and honey. And how true this is when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He offered Himself as the pure, sinless Son of God, who brought to the Father a sweet smelling savor, perfect sacrifice. There was not a hint of leaven in His own offering. There was no sin at all in the Lord Jesus' life, but neither any attraction to sensual pleasures or worldly power. You remember how He was tempted by Satan, being given the idea of power over all the kingdoms of this world, and the Lord refused completely that very idea. In His offering, the Lord Jesus was holy and completely free from any of these forbidden ingredients that are mentioned here. All His life and all His suffering was a sweet-smelling savor, a pure offering to the Lord and Father in heaven. And so are His people in Israel, as they were offering this kind of offering. They had to think about these things and know that they were offering something pleasant and pure to the Lord and to the priests to feed them and to make. We read at one point, I didn't take the reference, but if you remember, we read at one point, it is a most holy offering to the Lord. That's how the priest had to partake of this. It was a holy offering. Matthew Henry, I quote here what he says regarding this aspect of the offering and how he applies to us all as believers who are benefiting of the sacrifice of Christ. Here is Matthew Henry. Christ, in His character and sacrifice, was wholly free from the things denoted by leaven, and His suffering life and agonizing death were the very opposites to worldly pleasures. His people are called to follow and to be like Him. Christ, the Lord Jesus, the true, perfect meat offering, offered in your place. And this is so helpful when you think of your own life and your own limited offering. If it was not for Christ, you would not be accepted at all. Whatever you bring to the Lord, however you act in goodwill it will always mingled with sin and with worldly pleasure. But through Christ, in trust to Him, in submission to Him, in confession to Him of all your sins, you are truly offering an offer which is fully accepted by the Father, who is the Most Holy One. When you read in 1 Peter chapter 2, in fact, he is referring to believers like you and me who are living their own lives as Christians, and he is encouraging them to lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings and so on, and pleading with them to live a life of sacrifice acceptable to the Lord. But all this is possible only through Christ, because of what He has offered. Well, lastly and briefly, all this that we have said, with all these details, was offered in various forms. We read this from verse 4 through to 7. It could have been bacon in the oven, or it could have been bacon in a pan, or part in pieces, and so on. There were various ways that could be done. Bacon in a frying pan. There were all different aspects of this that we can't go into. But this was presented to the priest, and the priest would use part for himself and part to burn along with another sacrifice or the burnt offering to the Lord. This was mingled and done there by the priests. But it is interesting that the priest was using part of this. This was a holy sacrifice, a holy presentation to the priest for himself in the presence of the Lord. It was an offering that was bloodless, yes. But because of this, because of the ingredients that we have mentioned, it was truly pointing to life. It was pointing to an offering that was connected with the life and true desire to bring a sacrifice to the Lord as a living sacrifice, as we are called to do in the New Testament commands. It was to satisfy both the priest and the God of heaven with this service of presentation. It was an offering of consecration, if you want. And this is pointed out also by the last few verses, where we are told also in verse 12 that it was made of first fruits. It was an offering of the most important, the best part of the gatherings. It was the first fruits. It was what they gathered first from the harvest, the best part. And it was presented to the Lord and to the priests. With this, God was fully satisfied. We may not be pointed to Christ's death because of lack of blood here shed, but it was surely pointing to the full life, perfect, sinless, of the Lord Jesus here on earth, and how with His fulfillment of the law, with all His good works, He brought all this and offered Himself to the Lord, satisfying the Father with all that Christ did in His perfect obedience. And His life, this offering, is also what you can offer. It serves you as priest, as the priest was partaking of this offering. This is how the Lord is feeding yourself as well. it is not only the Father satisfied, but yourself, as you live with Christ and you are satisfied by His own life, you are blessed. Did we not read in Ephesians chapter 5 the encouragement and the command of Paul to these believers? He was saying, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. You see, maybe the sacrifice is more pointing to the burnt offering with the animal and the life of the blood shed, but the offering is really pointing to this type of sacrifice, this type of offering, which is of a sweet-smelling savour to the Lord. What a blessing to know of this aspect of Christ offering as well to the Father, not only for your sins to know that have been forgiven, but also that each and every time you approach the Father, you can, through Christ, you can be seen as precious, and you can confess your sins and let all malice and hypocrisies aside and approach the Lord your God through Christ, meat offering. This is what is enabling you to live truly a holy life, filled with the Spirit, mingled with salt and wisdom of God, so that you may feed upon Christ and bring your offering to the Lord God of heaven.